Good morning, everybody. It's Pastor Lenny.
Pastor Lori.
Good morning. We love and appreciate you all so very much. We are so glad to be with you here this morning, every morning. And we hope that you had an awesome Resurrection Sunday celebration day. I know we did. It was an awesome, awesome, awesome day. But you know what? We just don't celebrate the resurrection on Easter Sunday. We really celebrate it every day.
Yep, definitely.
Do you know why?
Because
I always catch her off guard. I always catch her off guard.
Because it's true every day. Because okay. We're living it every day.
What are we living every day?
Resurrection power, righteous.
There loved. You go. There you go. You see, every day, Pastor Lori and I, and we hope the same for you guys, we celebrate our righteousness. And you see, that's what Easter Sunday was. When the tomb was empty, when he was raised from the dead, that was God declaring us righteous. So we celebrate Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, every day. Yep. Because we celebrate our righteousness every day through faith in Jesus Christ. So I hope you had a great day. And again, thank you for all you do, for your encouraging words, for your letters, words of encouragement. And so many of you are blessing me by letting me know you ordered our book. You ordered our book. And, you know, thank you so very much. We appreciate it. You've ordered our book. Thank you. And I pray that it will encourage you, uplift you, and draw you to the miraculous that is within each and every one of you.
Yes.
And thank you for your gifts and your offerings. Look, I tell you what, whenever I put, you know, simply give by scanning on the screen, or whenever I put text to give, there's something within me, you know, it's like, I really don't like asking people to give. That's just my nature. That's not the God nature in me, because the God nature in me loves to give, and the God nature in you loves to give. So, you know, I have to learn to say, hey, thank you for your support, and thank you for listening to Holy Spirit, because all ministries need to be financially supported, and so does ours. And God does that through you. So we thank you. We thank you for all your gifts and all your offerings. So we really appreciate and love you. So now what we want to do is, for some strange reason, the Holy Spirit, I think, I found myself led to the book of 1 John, chapter 3, where I was reading. And as I'm reading it, I'm like, Lord, no. That's not rightly translated. No. That's not rightly translated. And so I think the Holy Spirit is leading me into this portion of Scripture. Well, it's brought some good revelatory truth to me. But he's leading me to it so that I can show you how to rightly divide the Word of God. Because we're told to rightly divide the Word of God, the Word of truth. And remember this, I told you, our filters, our true grace filters are, I am, I can,
I have.
And if we're reading something that doesn't indicate that, okay, then we have to challenge the translation, not the Word of God. The Word of God is inerrant. But translations, I'm sorry, guys, they're not. That's why there are so many of them. Everybody tries to improve on them. But everybody that tries to improve, improves from a position of subjectivity. They have preconceived ideas, preconceived notions. They have preconceived filters. Thank God that in today we have tools available to us that can help us in rightly dividing the Word of God. And so that's really important to understand. your filters as you read. And as you develop those filters more and more, you will see where the translation isn't quite proper. And it will lead you to rightly dividing, to where you can get the truth and you can have the power, the true power that the Word of God was supposed to yield. All right? I could hear Jesus, you know, saying, the traditions of men have made the Word of God of none effect. Mm. Right?
Yep.
And that's even true today with the translations. Listen, I know they try to do their best, but there is no way in the world, if you believe in, and I'm not picking on anything, I'm just using an example. If you believe in Calvinism, or you believe in Arminianism, and if you don't know what they are, good. But there's no way you can believe in that, all right? Systematic theology, and not have that affect you when you go and translate the Word of God. There's just no way. And so that's why you have to develop right filters. So we're going to look at 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. We might not get through all verses today. And what we don't, we'll finish, you know, in a couple of days. So Pastor Lori is going to read to you from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Please pay attention.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure. Mm. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither hath known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. That he committeth sin is of the devil. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God.
Wow.
That's a mouthful.
It is, isn't it?
Yep.
And it really is a powerful portion of Scripture. And we'll get greater clarification when it's rightly divided.
Okay.
So first we're going to look at verse 1. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. That's powerful. I like the way, you know, John introduced this chapter. That word bestowed means it was delivered to us. It was committed unto us. It was granted to us by the Father. And the word indicates that those things were granted, delivered, and committed to us for our advantage.
Nice.
What do you think of when you hear the word of, for our advantage?
For our advantage. For us. It's for us.
Okay.
It's for our good.
All right.
Let's make life better.
Okay. So I'd say this. Something we might be able to understand. You have two people in a tennis match.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, one person, he's at full capabilities. No injuries, no hindrances, you know, fully rested, fully trained. He's going to operate in power. Right, mm-hmm. He's good. Now you have another, his opponent, tennis player. And so now, like, he's equally strong, you know, he's practiced, he is skilled, except one thing. He's blindfolded.
That's not good.
That's not good, right? And then the match starts. Well, the tennis player that doesn't have a blindfold on has a tremendous and amazing and overpowering advantage.
Definitely.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And so this is what that word is meaning. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. In my book, the two greatest forces in the life of a believer, one of them being love. See, that's a fantastic and tremendous advantage that we have. Knowing that love brings security, brings peace, brings comfort, and also energizes faith. And because of that, the Father has bestowed upon us a tremendous advantage in life. It's like those who don't understand the fullness of his love do not experience that tremendous advantage.
Definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
So the more you understand our tremendous advantage that's been bestowed upon us by God's love, faith will be energized. You will know that you will be able to walk this earth walk with that tremendous advantage over life. But not only life, over yourself.
That's a biggie.
So with that, the fruit of that comes healing. It comes wellness. It comes protection. It comes provision. It comes redemption. It's amazing. And we are conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him who bestowed upon us that love for our advantage. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. We become conquerors. Conquerors. We walk in wholeness. We walk in the wisdom of Christ. We walk in the abilities and the power of Christ. We conquer our own bodies and we conquer life. Life can't affect us. Life can't drag us down. Life can't move us or sway us away from the truths that we know of the finished works of Christ. So you see, wow, we read that. But because we don't know true meanings of words, we sometimes miss the fullness of the meaning.
And you're missing a lot.
It's pretty good so far, right?
Yes.
And that's just one half of a sentence.
One, yeah.
Anything you want to add to that?
No. That.
No? You're just sitting there thinking now.
Definitely.
You're sitting there meditating on it. You're sitting there in your mind. I know Pastor Laura, she's going, wow, 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 wow. How's this going to affect me now? How's this truth going to affect me now? How am I going to live? So I know Pastor Laurie really good. So behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Now, when I hear Paul say that, I've been Paul's epistles. But when I hear John say that, I hear John say that we should be called the sons of God. I immediately think of John's gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 12, where he says, for as many as you who have received Jesus Christ, that's me, that's you,
amen,
that's you, to them, God has given the power, right, abilities, privilege. For as many as received him, God has given the power to be his children. To as many as believed in Jesus. Why? Here you go, guys. Because you weren't born from man. You weren't born from the will of man, but you were born from above. You were born from God. You were born of his spirit. What a great all this you put together and you see that his love, right, bestowed upon us, the fact that we are sons of God has given us an amazing advantage in life, and over our bodies.
That is major. For most of my life, I read Sons of God, and it just kind of flowed over like Sons of God didn't mean anything. But now I know, because of the love of God, what that really means, that he loves me just like he loves Jesus.
Oh, amen.
That is incredible. I mean, I cried amen. For days when I learned, when that revelation came.
That's so amazing.
Now, Sons of God means a lot when I read it.
And so would you say that as Jesus walked this earth, he was tremendously advantaged?
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
He was advantaged over nature, the elements. He was advantaged over creation. He was advantaged over sickness and disease.
Yep.
He was fully advantaged. And like you just said, the same love for us that God had for Jesus. And we know that Jesus heard the words, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased in." So you see the power of this verse. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. And then it goes on to say, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You know, understand that at many times Jesus was not accepted. You won't be accepted, but that's all right. We still operate like Jesus operated it, in the overwhelming love of the Father. And that's what's going to change hearts and lives. And so now we look at verse 2. Beloved, I love it. Beloved, this is John, right? The apostle whom Jesus loved. He said those words 5 times in his gospel.
Love it.
You have to become the son or the daughter of God whom he loves. You have to become the daughter he loves, the son he loves. And God, and right here, John is trying to assist us in that believing, where he's telling us, beloved, you're beloved, you're beloved, you're beloved, you're beloved by God. All right, he continues that thought from the previous verse. Now we are the sons of God. You have to be convinced of that truth. I am. I am. Remember your filters, your grace filters? I am. I am. I am loved. I am a son of God. I have been given great advantages. I am loved just like Jesus. I am. I am. I am. Powerful. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, see, that translation indicates we will one day be like him, for one day we will see him. Now, remember, I told you that as you're reading the scriptures, if it indicates you're not, or you can't, or you don't have, it's not properly translated. All right? Let me read this from a combination of scripture verses from various translations that I was able to put together. All giving clarity to this verse. So now, beloved, we know that we are the children of God, to begin with, period, which means that there can be no future surprises. His manifested likeness is already mirrored in us. Our sameness cannot be compromised or contradicted. Our gaze will confirm exactly who he is and exactly who we are.
Our sameness.
So what this verse is actually saying is, when Christ is revealed, you will be revealed. When you see Christ, you will see yourself. Now, we have other scriptures that qualify that statement that I just made. And one of them is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, where Paul instructs us to go to the mirror. And as we behold in the mirror the image of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, as we're beholding that image, we see the image of Christ. Then it says, and we behold it. Beholding it means you take it as your own. You understand that?
Yeah,
wow. You're beholding the image of Christ as in a mirror, his glory. You're beholding it. You're taking it as your own. And then the Holy Spirit transforms you right then and there. He transforms you into that very image. This is why the Word of God is our only true mirror. And you're exhorted to go into that mirror and find Christ. Find who he is. Find his abilities. Find his character. Find the advantages he had. Find his power. Find his resurrection power. And know that as you see that, as you look at that, you're beholding that image because you're looking and seeing yourself also. And the Holy Spirit will bring about the wonderment of that transformation in your life.
Resurrection power.
Amen. And in John chapter 17, verse 22, it's confirmed again. Jesus said, Father, the glory you have bestowed upon me, I have bestowed upon them. And then it's further confirmed, yeah, that's right. In Romans chapter 8, verse 30, where it says, he whom the Father called, he declared righteous. Oh, thank you. And he who he declared righteous, he glorified. The glorified. Brilliance, amen.
What does that mean?
What does it mean?
What does it mean?
When you look at the word glorified, it's doxa, glory, glory, doxa. It means brilliance, majesty, radiant glory, supernatural abilities, and also of the right view and opinion.
Okay, what about, I remember reading godlike.
That's the glory part.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfected.
Oh, amen. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord.
That's powerful if you think of yourself like that. We've been glorified. What that means. Again, that word just went over,
just didn't mean anything. Glory, glory,
didn't
glory.
Mean anything. Amen. But when you really know the meaning, you look at yourself different.
And that's what our heart is. Our heart is and has the desire to springboard you into your true and new creation realities.
Yes.
Who you are, what you can do, and what you have. I am, I have, and I can. I am just like Jesus. I am loved by the Father just like Jesus. I can do all that Jesus can do. You know, I've been born of God. And I forgot to mention Romans chapter 8, verse 17, where it says, we are not only heirs, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, right here, right now, all right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, it reminds us, come to the mirror, right? Come to the mirror, get dressed, put on your true self, which after Jesus Christ has been created in true holiness and true righteousness.
Wow.
That's right here, and that's right now. That's right here, and that's right now. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. So we're going to take our time with this, guys. I hope you meditate on these first two verses of chapter 3 in its truth, in it being correctly rendered and correctly understood and correctly translated, and understood by the true filters of the gospel of grace. I am, I can, and I have. Now, we're going to take our time with this, so we're going to stop here because it's been 24 minutes. and we're going to continue this the next time we get together. Now, Pastor Lori, do you have anything else you'd want to say?
No, it's first two verses have a lot in it, power-packed. And if you really meditate on all that's in those first two verses, boy.
Amen. And with the right understanding, it brings power.
Oh.
It brings revelation. But with the wrong understanding, because it's not properly translated, we just read over it and we say, well, one day, you know, in the future, one day.
First two verses, that's all you need is two verses. That'll take you all day and all night.
Amen. Amen. The word of God is powerful. The true gospel of grace is powerful.
It's living
alive. Be free and live in your freedom. We'll see you again in a couple of days.